Testing. There we go. Well, good evening. It's good to be together with you. I much more often have the privilege of seeing Tom than being able to spend the time with all of you. Tom has been a real encouragement to me personally through a couple of trying years. He's also been a real blessing to our church. He's spent many Saturdays, I hope you know this, but he's invested many Saturdays shepherding some of our folks that the session there was not able to do, and with much blessing. So we're really grateful. I got a little text from him today. He was probably reminding me to get on my way and come here, but he sent me a little picture, and I said, are you actually in Ireland? And he said, I really am, and he sent a picture of he and Trish with some moors or some things out in Ireland. So it's good to be with you, and I could probably even send you greetings from Tom, but certainly greetings from New Hope. Let's turn to God's Word together. We're going to be looking at Mary and Martha. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 10, just a few verses, Luke 10, verse 38 to 42. This is God's word. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Would you pray with me a minute? Holy Spirit, open our minds, our hearts to your word, so that we would see this good portion, that we would take much time to be holy, to sit at your feet, and to learn and delight. Open your word, get me out of the way, use this time to shape us for your glory and our joy. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Are you a sitter or a server? That's really the question in our text. Are you a sitter or a server? Are you like Mary or are you like Martha? And which one is the true follower of Jesus? Which one should get the emphasis? That's what we're wrestling with tonight. Luke is in a section on what it means to be a disciple. The last several chapters, he's beginning to spell this out. He goes on in the next chapter, for example, to teach the disciples how to pray. Disciples are prayers, but the bottom line of what a disciple is, of course, is one who knows, who believes in the triune God, particularly in trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see in chapter 10, if you want to look there for just a moment, that the disciples have been sent out preaching the gospel, and they come back rejoicing. And look at chapter 10, verse 20. Jesus says, well, that's all good, but do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Disciples are those who believe the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to live the life we couldn't live and to die the death we couldn't die, taking the Father's wrath on himself and giving us a new name, giving us a new record, giving us a new life. But that's not where discipleship stops, right? It starts with knowing the Lord Jesus, believing in him, but then it flows from that. You can see that in the passage just before ours. If you look at chapter 10, verse 25 and so on, you see the Good Samaritan. A disciple is one who serves, who loves his neighbor in hands-on ways. True disciples love their neighbors. They serve and show mercy to those in front of them. And you see that at the very end of verse 37, that whole section on the Good Samaritan, is Jesus says this is the point. You go and do likewise. And the very next thing we see is Martha doing likewise, right? She is a Good Samaritan. She's seeing people who are in need, and she serves them, welcomes them, cares for them. Martha is a server. Just think about that for tonight, for the moment. If somebody walked in here, maybe with a family of, you know, six, seven, actually this would be a family of 11, all grown, hungry, strapping young men, and they don't have McDonald's, they don't want to go to McDonald's, lots of reasons for that, but would you take them in? Come on over. Let me cook something for you. I think you begin to see right away Martha's generosity. Last moment, she's not expecting this to happen. Come on in. You and all your disciples, come in, I'll feed you all. She uses her home for hospitality, loving the stranger, caring for those who are in need. And we know Martha's godly. She's not some woman driven to good works or to legalism. Remember with John, when he's risen from the dead, she knows, I'll see him again at the resurrection. She's got a robust theology. She knows who Jesus is. So she's godly, she's generous, she's courageous, likely a single woman, yet welcomes and receives these guys hospitably and serves them. Martha is a server. She proactively serves, cares, welcomes. We probably ought to just pause for a moment there and see what's commendable here. The disciples of the Lord are meant to serve, to care, to open their homes, to minister to others, to care for them, to be kind to them, to welcome them. So you've got a little bit of homework for this coming week, right? Lord, who would you have me show care and kindness to? Who can I invite in? And it doesn't have, you might not have a house. You may live in an apartment or something else, even just room and board. But you can still show that hospitality and that outward-looking care to those around you. You might want to take them to McDonald's. They serve ice cream there. But the theme here is not McDonald's advertisements. Let me get back on track. But that's the question, though, right? If a disciple is a server, because we've been so well served, are you serving? Are you caring? How can you show hospitality? Welcome. Well, if Martha is a server in a very proactive way, Mary's way of living is a little different, isn't it? She's a sitter. Look at verse 39. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. As Jesus reclines at table, they would lie down beside the benches. They must have had strong elbows, usually supporting their head on an elbow, and eat. Mary proactively goes and sits at his feet. That was unusual. Women didn't usually sit with the men at the table. But she's welcome. She's not turned away. And so she joins the Lord Jesus. She takes her place at his feet and listens to his teaching. Jesus' ministry turns all kinds of things upside down. And here's now a place for men and women at his feet. Mary, the sitter, she's not just sitting here lazily, is she? What do the girls think about that? What is Mary doing? Well, nothing. No, she is. She's actively listening, right? She's sitting at his feet, listening, trying to get what he's saying and get it into her mind. She's listening to the Lord's teaching. That's what a disciple does. He or she's discipled by, taught by, instructed by the rabbi, the Lord. She wants to know what Jesus has to say. She's listening to his voice. There's a humility and a hunger. There's a hungering and thirsting for righteousness. My sheep know my voice. This sheep knows his voice, wants to hear more. The Lord even said, "This is my son, listen to him," at the Transfiguration. So here again, we ought to ask, how are you doing with your sitting? We can take a note from Mary, right? Is your desire to know the Lord Jesus? Do you take time to sit at his feet, to open the word and hear him speak through his word? Not just to nibble, but to sit. To put away distraction, put away your phone. And sit to hear the Lord through his word speak to you. help others do the same. Maybe you've got young ones at home. Maybe you know people who can't read anymore, their eyesight's faded. Help them listen to Jesus' voice through his word. Share the word with each other. Sing the word to each other. Some of the great psalms and hymns we have. That you bring people to the Lord's feet listening. And listen to be changed. Read to be affected by who God is, about how great he is, about how good he is, about how kind he is. Servers and sitters. Which one is your tendency? And which one gets priority? Are we first to sit or first to serve? And I think you know, well, it's not either or. Both are needed. But the question in front of us is, we see these two women, both disciples of the Lord. The emphasis is going to be on which of these takes priority, to serve or to sit. So we've seen Mary and Martha sitting and listening. That was my first point. The second thing I want to look at is Martha's serving and resenting. Her serving takes a bit of a left turn, doesn't it? Let's look at that. That's verse 40. Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." Jesus knows that serving is important, but he also knows our hearts. Sometimes it's easier to serve, to be busy, to knock off our to-do list than to sit and listen, learn from him. And he knows that our sitting can crowd out, sorry, our serving can crowd out our sitting. And Jesus is about to correct that. You can imagine Martha, she invites them in. She's probably feeling pretty good about herself. This is a little imagination, but that's typically how it goes, right? I get to serve the Lord. What a privilege. He's in my home, the honor. And she begins chopping and serving and counting and setting out her placements and perhaps kneading bread, washing, arranging, maybe some flowers, hopefully. But there comes a subtle shift somehow where she becomes distracted and she becomes resentful. It somehow becomes about her and not about serving the Lord. Or it's serving the Lord, but for her to get something from it that gets her rather frustrated. We're told, you see that in verse 40, right, that she was distracted with much serving. Somehow she's overburdened too much now. She's absorbed, her attention's kind of slurped up. Perhaps she was making things more lavish than she needed to. Maybe there was an extra dish or two just in case somebody didn't like eggplant or some odd dish like that. We just don't know. But there's a feeling of heightened responsibility. Maybe it's serving that begins to own her. I've got to do this. I've got to have everything just so, just perfect. Lay each of the, I don't know if they had forks and spoons, but lay them just so. Maybe it's a name. I want them to leave here knowing that I'm good at what I do. Knowing that I'm competent. They're here to serve the house. Let's see the house, not me. You could just imagine all the different, because we resonate with that. We have these drivers in us that move us to take our serving and elevate it up and make it about us. And you see that in verse 40, I think, in the words that she uses. You can almost imagine her saying, "Lord, do you not care that my sister is spitting it out? She's my relative. We both invited them in. And she's just sitting there like she always does." I wouldn't be surprised. But you certainly see, she's left me. She's abandoned me. Here I am slaving away in the kitchen on my own. She's left me to serve. She thinks I'm a servant. I don't get paid for this. And I'm alone. I thought this was a team effort. I thought we worked together as a family. You can feel the poison there, can't you? Fix it, Lord. Don't you care? Tell her to help because she's not helping. She's just sitting there doing nothing. She's shirking her part. And her joy is replaced with criticism. She sees one of her fellow servants of the Lord and she throws her under the bus. She's resentful. Somehow her eyes have been taken from whom she's serving. She's serving the Lord Christ, her master, the one who would lay his whole life down for her. But if you think of the words in Ephesians chapter 6, there, slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. She is serving Christ. How would you serve the King of Kings? The one who's given his all for you. That's the situation she's in. And so Paul picks up on that. As you would serve, this is how we are to serve others. As you would Christ, not by way of eye service, as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. Because the Lord sees. The Lord knows. The Lord is pleased, whether somebody else sees it or not, whether they're delighted or not. See, there's the freedom of the gospel. In our serving, we keep ourselves from resentment when we serve the Lord for the Lord's sake. Not to get, not to gain, not to grasp, but because he's good. It frees us from a lot of what Martha seems to be struggling with. Well, Martha is a woman of action, and she stands up and she goes right to the Lord Jesus. She can't get Mary's attention anyhow. She can't get the Lord's attention, so she walks straight up, interrupting whatever conversation. Lord, don't you care? That's bottom line. Very quickly, she goes from the serving happily, joyfully, to resenting her sister. And then she begins to question the Lord's goodness. That's it, right? It's almost like she's blaming Jesus for this situation. Won't you help me get her in the kitchen? That's what she asks. Tell her to help me. And don't you care? Doubt creeps in. Jesus didn't notice her hard work or service. He didn't care that Mary just sat there taking advantage of Martha's industrious service. Isn't it interesting how quickly we can question Jesus' goodness when we're not getting what we want? Someone else has it easier and we're jealous. Why, God, don't you care? It's not fair. But Jesus does care. You see that in the text. Not the way that Martha wants him to, but the better way. I hope you see in this last section, verse 41, 42, that Jesus corrects Martha so that she chooses rightly. Jesus cares enough to correct us, to correct Martha. Martha, just imagine how the Lord Jesus says that. It seems to be very tender. Martha, my dear Martha, not anger, not condescension, not bitterness for interrupting, but right to the heart. You're anxious and troubled about many things. You're distracted. What's most important? Are you anxious and troubled about many things? Are you busy working, providing, trying to pay the mortgage, trying to pay the gas bill, trying to care for your family? If you're diligent, praise God. But is that all there is to your life? Are you busy parenting, raising children, loving them, teaching them, maybe you homeschool, maybe you're just really invested in their being raised? Good. We need parents like that. Pray for that. But is that all of your life? Maybe you're engaged with the times. You know what's going on. You understand what's happening just down the road. You know where this country's going. Good. Teach me. We need people like that who know what's going on in our nation, who can advise and counsel, who can pray accurately, specifically. But Jesus questions there too, is that all? Are you missing something? Maybe you're young and you're enjoying entertainment. You're enjoying playing games. There's a place for leisure. I don't know how Americans do it. I don't think Americans do that particularly well. To rest, to refresh, to recharge. That's good. It's biblical. But is that all? Is that what you're living for? This is the question. Is it the main thing? Or maybe serving at church. Martha would be great. I'd love to have more Marthas at church. I hope you do too. We can train them and welcome them and pitch in ourselves. We need to. But even good things like serving in the church, teaching and doing the hidden ministries and serving in the nurseries and so on, is that all? Are we distracted by them from Jesus? But in verse 42, Martha, Martha, knocks, knocks. You are anxious and troubled about many things, but stop. There's a contrast here. But one thing, many, many good things, but one central, important, above all other ones, but one thing. Oh, it simplifies everything. Jesus says one thing is, present tense, one thing is right now. Not down the road, not when you get older, not when you retire, not when you graduate, no. One thing is right now necessary, a must, of first importance, absolute priority. All the things I talked, we can add a whole bunch more. They're all good. We saw those ones were good. But they're nothing without the one thing, without the anchor, without the foundation. Mary has chosen the good portion. That's the one thing, the good portion. She didn't... What's that? Oh, very good. We'll go on. That wasn't the one thing, right? The one thing's the word. All right, very good. But Mary's chosen the good portion. She's not picked up the salt shaker. She's not picked up the gravy. She's picked up the steak. And what you see, look at verse 39. What's the good thing? What's the one thing? Sitting at the Lord's feet and listening to his teaching. Sitting, the good portion, hearing the Lord Jesus' voice. That's the good portion. That's the primary thing. That's the correction. Martha, it's not that you have to stop serving or stop doing the good things, but your primary place as a disciple is to sit and listen to Jesus. So Martha, is your serving crowding out your sitting? Knox, is your serving, whatever it is, is it pushing off your sitting? Are you sitting at the Lord's feet? Do you open your word, his word, to listen to his voice? And when you do you slow down to hear him? I don't mean some mystical thing, but the Spirit opens the word. He opens our hearts to his word, where we hear Jesus correct us. We're reminded of his grace and mercy to us. We're reminded of what he calls us in terms of obedience. We're reminded that we can't do these things in our own strength. But he gives us more grace. He pours out his Spirit upon us so that we begin to live more and more for him. Serving is important. But don't lose your priority as first his disciple sitting at his feet. You might remember Philippians chapter 3, Galatians, Ephesians chapter 3. Paul talks about this one thing in a little different way, doesn't he? He says, whatever gain I had, all the servings, all the good things, all the works, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of serving, no, knowing. There it is. Knowing, sitting at Jesus' feet, knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Maybe you don't know what it is to be a disciple of Jesus. And this kind of spells out that very first beginning part, doesn't it? Where we need a righteousness. We need a record that we can't perform well enough to get. Because our motives are twisted, and so often our actions are twisted. And Jesus says, come and know me. Come and believe in the forgiveness of your sins, in my dying for you. And you'll be my disciple. You'll know me. But that's not a static thing. It doesn't stay there as if, okay, now I know I'm good. It's just a beginning. It's that discipling, that growing ever more deeply. Just think about the Great Commission over in Matthew, the very last chapter. Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Okay, that's what we're talking about. And then baptizing them, the entrance into the kingdom, into the church, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then what? Teaching them to sit at Jesus' feet, to listen to his voice. It says, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. So take Jesus' word and know him. Listen to him. Now you know this. But you, like I, need to spend better quality time in the word, don't we? We need to, yes, read the word, but then meditate on the word. Take Pastor Tom's sermons and listen to them again during the week. Ask yourself and ask those that you worship together with, how do we live that today? What did we hear of the Lord Jesus today? How was he described? Encourage one another with who the Lord is. Grow as you sit together at his feet. John chapter 14 through 16 talks a whole lot more about disciples, but just maybe chapter 15. Jesus says, if you abide in me, I think that's another way of saying, if you sit at my feet and listen, if you abide in me, your faith tree sinking its roots into all that Jesus is, all that he has done for you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That's the beginning. Sitting. Learning. And learning unto change. That's what it says next. If verse 7 is Mary, verse 8 is Martha. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. See, Jesus' rebuke to Martha is not of her action necessarily or per se. The action, serving and hospitality, that was fine, good. But apart from the Lord Jesus, that was the problem. Action at the expense of sitting and listening to God's word. And her attitude toward her sister, who was doing the right thing, that's where she went wrong. We need to make a deliberate effort to slow down. I suspect that's not just me. But to slow down from keeping up with the news, slow down from keeping up with other people, slow down from Instagram, Facebook, whatever TV, the program, slow down to make time to sit at our Lord's feet. Is there a better place to be? Is there a place that satisfies your soul more? That says you don't need to pant after other people's approval. When you hear the Lord Jesus in his words say, you are my beloved. You are my treasured possession. Oh, then let me happily serve you, Lord. There's no better place to be. And so I want to exhort you, encourage you to really get in the Word. Help each other with that. You might need to help somebody else to have the time even. First sit and then serve. Jesus himself says our first priority, sitting at his feet, go there. And then, yes, flowing from that, Lord, how then shall I be your faithful disciple? How do I obey your commandments? I've got the renewed strength now because I know what you say of me. I know what you think of me. I know now that you've forgiven all my sins. Then let me go happily to love you as you charge me to love by loving my neighbor. Which is better, serving or sitting? Well, you know that. You knew it beforehand already, didn't you? Jesus says, sitting and listening to him, that's our first priority. And we build our serving on that sitting, not in place of it. Don't let your serving squeeze your sitting. No, take time to be holy. Spend time oft with God. Let's ask him for his help. Help us sit at your feet, O great teacher, our ultimate rabbi, our loving Lord. Help us look for you more in your word and observe who you are and what you did and what you command. Grow us in godly meditation as we read your word. Help us help others be learners, learning more of who you are and all that you are and all that you command, so that we might strive forward together, knowing you and knowing your grace and your love and your mercy. Help us grow in both directions, Lord, both the Mary way first and then the Martha way. Give us wisdom to be able to cut out what needs to be cut back so that we have time for what's most needful. We ask you that you teach us to rest in you, Lord Jesus, to lay down our doing, performing, and to rest, to be strengthened, to be filled, to be renewed. Help us, correct us, teach us, and strengthen us, that the Father's love might be reflected in a real way, albeit a small way, in this your church. We pray this through the Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.